to keep the oneness in Jerusalem. This oneness, it is very important. So concerning Jerusalem, how do we explain to people what Jerusalem is practically? And to show what Babylon is, what division is, and what Jerusalem is. So I promised our brother to share it, so I'm not going to forget it. But first of all, I'm going to check this one. Oh my, we still got two more to go. But this is almost a little check. In order to explain somebody concerning Jerusalem, our wonderful oneness, the city of peace, of course, you need to really experience Christ as our peace offering. It's a city of peace. And the oneness is really the oneness of the triune God. It's a wonderful heavenly oneness. It's not just any kind of a regular man-made oneness. I am so-and-so, and you all have to listen to me, then we are one. That is, I don't know what kind of a oneness it is. That is a strange oneness. Now, according to the Bible, the oneness, Jerusalem, remember, for us, Jerusalem, the ground, the proper oneness, there are two aspects. You should always see these two aspects. You cannot miss one. If you miss one, you don't have the other. It won't work. Right? For a cart, a kalesa, to move, you need not just the cart, but you also need the horse, right? So the horse and the carriage, they belong together. Otherwise, you don't have a carriage. You cannot just say, I want a horse. Well, then you have to ride on a horse. But to really have a carriage, a kalesa, you need two things. So, for our wonderful oneness, because number one, we are on this earth. Practically, we are right here in Metro Manila. Right? And we are living on this earth in a very practical life. So, because the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is on this earth. It is visible. It is practical. It can be seen by everybody. So the pattern in the Bible is very clear that in each locality, there's only one church, one lampstand, right? And one city. That means this aspect God requires, and that is His way, that in every locality, in Quezon City, as a city, there can only be one church and one testimony, one golden lampstand. Just like in the book of Revelation, seven cities, seven churches, seven golden lampstands. The math is very simple. One, one, one. One city, one church, one golden lampstand. I think even if you are not a math major, it'll be very easy for you to count. Right? One, one, one. It's only one. One city, one church. Right. One lampstand. So this is throughout the New Testament, right? Beginning in the book of Acts, all the way to the book of Revelation. This principle, or I would say, this matter of locality, one city, one church, it is ordained by God. This is the way God built up his churches in the New Testament. But then, it is not just that. This is only the outward aspect. Don't say, okay, now we are standing on this one city, one church. We are now the church in Quezon City. Not that simple. Not that simple. Because oneness has a spiritual side. Remember, we are the heavenly Jerusalem. The church is heavenly. The church is spiritual. The spiritual house. You cannot be in the flesh and stand on the ground of locality and oneness of locality, and then we are fighting, we're doing all that, all crazy thing, and we say we are the church. You cannot fool the living God. Today, a lot of people use that principle, one city, one church, and says we are the church. Why? We are standing on the local ground. It's not that simple. So there is another aspect. That is the oneness of the Spirit. The oneness of the Spirit, the triune God, as the essence, the reality, the substance of our oneness. Right. Suppose we are all say, okay, we are the church in Quezon City, but everybody has to listen to me. I am the apostle. Right? Or I am the super elder. Although there's none. There's no such thing. And you all have to listen to me. And you too. Otherwise, if you don't listen to me, we'll fight. There's no more oneness. Right? So remember, right? I can even use a Bible verse to tell you, you must listen to me. Suppose our oneness becomes me. I am your oneness. Are we still the church? No. Because you may have this principle, but your oneness is not the Spirit. Your oneness is somebody else. Just like the church in Corinth, we are of Paul. Paul became the oneness. Some says we are of Cephas. Cephas become the oneness. Some even say we are of Apollos. Oh, my goodness. No, that is not right. So, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul says we have to keep this oneness of the Spirit. So, oneness is not just the locality. Now, I'm going to just write here the word locality. Oneness is not just a matter of locality. Right? But oneness is a matter of the oneness of the Spirit. Now tell me which is more important. The Spirit is more important. This should have the priority, and this is secondary. Doesn't mean that we don't need it. We do, because we are practically meeting here in Manila, Metro Manila, in Quezon City. So God will not allow in Quezon City to have so many divisions, no. Right. So you can really see that the locality is on one side, but the Spirit is on the other end. You have two ends of one thing. To keep the oneness of the Spirit, this is very important. More important than just have the locality. If you just have the locality, but your oneness is not the oneness of the Spirit, you are in trouble. Then you're definitely not keeping the proper oneness. Just like today in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the proper place for the temple. But on top of Jerusalem is what? Is a mosque. is a mosque, a Muslim temple. So is that the church? Is that a temple of the living God? No. But is it a right place? Yes. But what kind of a temple? So what's more important, the place or the temple? So never say, because we are in the right place, we are the church. Not that simple. Not that simple. No. No. You must definitely have the right place, which is Jerusalem. Right? But on the other hand, you have to be building the house of the living God. You must have the spirit, the essence of this oneness, the triune God, one spirit, one Lord, one God and Father. Right? So you can really see these two must be together in order for us to really be the proper church life. I hope this is clear to you. Don't say just one side is good enough. No. I know a lot of people, we're the church. Why? Because we're standing on the ground. It's a fleshly man standing on the ground. It's the mosque standing on a proper locality. Is that the church? Is that the house of the living God? No, definitely not. So you need the two legs in order to express the proper church life. I hope this is clear to you, Benson. Right. This is clear. So you really need to see. Don't just stress one point and you don't stress the other point. You're not a church. No. Right. So Lord, it is very balanced. On one hand, there is the local ground, because the church is practically on this earth. Otherwise, I don't like you tomorrow, next door I'll build another one. No, this is really what happened, right? Where do you meet? You meet in a latte something. Dolce latte. Dolce latte. Of course, that's not a church of dolce latte. And just a block away, you have two doors away. Oh my goodness, you have the LSM sect, right? So it is not just the locality. You also must have the reality, the spirit, the oneness of the spirit. This is very important. Right? You cannot say, because we're in the locality, we're the church, it's not that cheap. So it'll be first come, first served. That is who you think you can fool God. Hey, God, we came here first. Oh, forget it. Right? If you it's first come, first served, then it's Roman Catholicism. Right? So, you think God is just for that? No, no, no. You need this to balance it out. Right? So may the Lord open our eyes. It's actually very simple. It's very simple. Right? So, I hope it answers your question. Right? Amen. That's good enough for this. Now, where were we? We were in the peace offering. Praise the Lord. The peace offering is actually the goal. That's why it's in the center. That's why it's in the center. Right? You have burnt offering and meal offering, and then you have sin offering and trespass offering on the other side, and in the middle, you have this wonderful peace offering. Christ is our peace. This is very clearly written in where? No? He's our peace. Definitely in Ephesians, right? He's our peace. He's our oneness. In Ephesians chapter 2, right? Who made both one. He is our peace. Right? So you can really see that this peace is very, very important. Peace with God and peace with man. In a church life, peace is very important. Peace. Right? So the gospel is also called the gospel of what? The gospel of peace. Because the gospel, the goal of the gospel is to bring peace. Without peace, it is terrible. Really terrible. Right? Do you know why Christians today are divided into countless groups? Why? Because there's no peace. There's quarreling all the time. In the family, no peace. In the society, no peace. In the world, there is no peace. Right? Peace is a very important thing. Hoping. What about husband and wife quarreling every day? Solomon says better to sleep in the housetop. So when you build your house, you better make a flat top so that you can put a bed there and sleep there. Then you have your peace. Hopefully, the wife or the husband will not climb up there and still quarrel with you on the housetop. Peace is really very important. Peace with God and peace with man, peace with one another. Right. Peace. Praise the Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. So we really need to see this, right? So there is an offering called the peace offering. How wonderful it is. Christ is our peace, is our peace offering. This is very, very important. So here, God requires that we bring to him a peace offering. We in the church life, God's people must be a peaceful people. Praise God. Right? A peaceful people. Jerusalem is really a wonderful, should be a city of peace, actually. Right? So, the peace offering is very wonderful. It is very important for us to have this peace offering. You need to prepare a peace offering for God. If you want to offer up something for God, then you need to offer up a peace offering. And this peace offering is based upon your burnt offering and meal offering. And definitely, you need to deal with the sin. Otherwise, there's no peace. That's why it is sandwiched in the middle. Right? It's like a sandwich. We have a sandwich of peace. The top, you have burned a meal offering. Bottom, we have sin and trespass offering. Put together, you have a peaceful sandwich. Not a hamburger, but a peace burger. Mm-hmm. All right? You have to offer God a peace burger. Isn't that wonderful? Have you ever tasted a peace burger? No, oh my goodness, the church is a place where you can really enjoy peace and make a peace burger to offer up to our wonderful Father. No, never. You haven't offered up a peace burger. You think I'm joking? I'm not joking. Right? My, Christ is our wonderful peace, for he is our peace, who made both Jews and Gentiles one, and make we and God one. We, not only one with one another, we will also be one with this wonderful God. What a wonderful thing. Actually, peace is really what this world needs, right? Peace is very, very important. So this is why this is right here in the middle. The peace offering. We are really a people of peace, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you a peacemaker or are you a troublemaker? Who is a troublemaker here? Are you a troublemaker? Don't make trouble in the church life. In God's house, there's peace. Really a wonderful peace. Right? It's very, very important. May the Lord really open our eyes. And we all need to learn to prepare such a peace offering to the Father. Now, I'll come back to the details if we have time. Then in the last two things here, we have a sin and a trespass offering because we have this problem. Why two? Why not just sin offering, just one? Why? What is the difference between the sin offering and a trespass offering? One is the what? The cause. Yeah, you may say that, but what causes it? it is the very nature of sin that is in you. Right? And the other one deals with the fruit of sin that came out. And that is why the Lord, in finishing the wonderful salvation work, it is not just for your forgiveness, but he deals with the very root of sin that is in you. Right? A good doctor will not just... Oh, here's a doctor. Who else is a doctor here? Right? A good doctor will not just deal with the symptoms. A good doctor will deal with the very root, the cause of that sin that is in you. Right? Oh, when you want to be a doctor, right? You better be a good one. Don't just deal with the surface. Nothing. Oh, who knows what the root of that problem was, right? Isn't it? That's why you have a course called what? Pathology, right? Does it just deal with the surface? No, you deal with the very cause and the root, the problem. You go into the problem. Right? Otherwise, you get rid of that and tomorrow it comes again. You get rid of it, well, my goodness, and it's getting more serious. Because you don't get into the root of sin. Now, why do we have this sin offering? The sin offering is really to get into the root. Do not think that the death of Christ on the cross is just for forgiveness of your sin, then you go and sin again. No. Our Lord is not... what would you describe it? Right? Our Lord is a good doctor. He's a great physician. Well, he came and he says, well, this healthy people, they don't need a doctor. Right? Didn't he say that? What did he say? Right. Only the sick needs a doctor. And do you think Dr. Jesus Christ just deal with sickness outwardly? I have headache. Just take an aspirin. But you don't even ask where the headache come from. Maybe you have a tumor in your head. and you keep telling people to take aspirin or take paracetamol, what else? And you think that's going to heal him? It's only a temporary healing of the headache, and then it comes again. Right? So that's why you have a sin offering here, and you have a trespass offering. The sin offering deals with the root, the very source of your problem. And the trespass offering deals with the outward manifestation of that sin. Our Lord is a very good doctor. Unfortunately, we just tell people, oh, just take the blood, take the forgiveness, and go home. But the next day, you're going to do it again. You're going to sin again. What are you going to do? Always taking aspirin. Take aspirin. Stronger aspirin. And what else? What is a strong painkiller? Huh? Oh, my goodness. The headache won't kill you, but maybe that medicine will kill you. So you really need to know our Lord is the best doctor. Right? He said the healthy didn't need a physician, but the sick needs a physician. He came to heal us. If there is any greatest physician of all, it's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the best. He's the greatest physician. So our Lord will never just forgive you as a trespass offering, but he really wants to free you. This is really wonderful. I don't want to just have forgiveness and do it again. No, I want to be free. To set us free. Right? That's why in the book of Romans, it says here, and sin shall have no more dominion over you. Have you ever read this in Romans 6? Sin shall have no more dominion over you. Are you still a slave of sin? You just have the forgiveness. Tomorrow you do it again? You think the Lord will just take away the symptoms and not the root of the problem? Then he is really a terrible physician. A good physician will not just deal with your headache. He'll find out maybe there's a tumor there. Get it out. Maybe you have cancer inside, or maybe this, maybe that. A good physician, headache? Just take some aspirin. Yeah, take some aspirin. Go home. Get some sleep. It'll be okay. Are you that kind of a physician? You better not be, right? So, our Lord prepared such a wonderful dealing with our sin. Don't just deal with a superficial manifestation of sin. The Lord wants to heal us, to get rid of the root, right? If you're a good doctor and I have a problem, what are you going to do? Huh? Problem? Just go take an aspirin. Next time I have a stomach ache, just take an aspirin. The next day I come, I have a terrible, terrible headache already. Just take double dose. Oh my goodness. You don't ask what is the cause of that problem. You don't deal with the cause. You just add the dosage. And finally, the dosage will kill me. Don't do that. No. That's why you have a sin offering to deal with the very root of the problem. And you have a trespass offering to deal with a superficial manifestation of those problems. Right? As a good doctor, what do? You deal with both. Right? You find out what the cause of rashes are. The cause of rashes, don't just give cortisone. Finally, your skin will be so thin. You'll have no more skin. Of course, if you have no more skin, you have no more skin problem. No more skin. Your skin becomes as a thin sheet of paper. You have no more skin. So, no more skin, no more problem, right? Peel your skin and you won't have any more dermatitis or whatever you call it, right? How about that? Are you such a doctor? You have to deal with the root of the problem. My, so you better go to Dr. Jesus. Why is it, oh, Dr. Jesus, how come I keep on sinning? Oh, I always have this trouble for how many years now? Dr. Jesus, can you heal me? Don't we have a wonderful physician? You think the Lord will just deal with your superficial problem superficially? No, the Lord will go to the very root of your sin. Many people only know Christ died for you, right? Have you ever heard the gospel? Frank, who died for you?
Jesus.
Wonderful, so you don't need to die, right? He died for you, right? Wrong. Because when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he takes you with him. You died with him on the cross. You want to die? What did Paul say? I have been crucified with Christ. Have you said that? No, most of the time you says, he died for me. You sure? So, are you still alive? I caught you. We always like to say, he died for me. What about saying, I died with him? Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me now. It's not just he died for you. What about you dying with him? Right. So you can really see, right? Galatians tells us, those who are Christ's, they have crucified their flesh with all of those problems with him together. This is a real liberation to make you free, to set you free. Otherwise, you do it again. Forgive me, Lord. Yes, I forgive you. And tomorrow you do it again. And tomorrow you say, Lord, forgive me. And then you do it again. Right? This is not enough. No, the Lord wants to really free you. That's why it's written, and sin shall have no more dominion over you. Isn't it wonderful? Right? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. That is the sin offering here. The death of Christ on the cross is not just to forgive you for the sin. You're going to do it again. Why did they lock so many people up in the prison and now they need more prison because it's full? Because if you don't lock them up, they're going to go out and do it again. So what are you going to do? Lock them up. But unfortunately, the prison are so full, they have to let some go, and then they're going to do it again and come back again. That's not good. Right. That is why you have two different offerings. One is sin offering, and one is a trespass offering. The sin deals with the root, and the trespass offering deals with the deeds, the manifestation, the outward sins that you have committed. Our God is a very good doctor. Don't think he is not a good doctor. A good doctor deals with the root of the problem, right? Dr. Lorraine? Right? So are you just a superficial doctor? Oh, I have this problem. Just go take a shower and it'll be gone. My goodness, I'm not going to see you again next time. No, we should deal with the root. Our Lord is a great physician. He doesn't just deal with the outward. He does too, but not just. But he deals with the very root, which is the root of sin, the very nature of the snake, the serpent, that puts his poison into our being. So in order to free you from the manifestation of that poison, you have to remove the poison. That's why you have the sin offering. My. It says, and sin shall have no more dominion over you. Wow. What a wonderful liberation. Do you know the Lord Jesus as your sin offering? It is not just to forgive you, it is to set you free. This is really wonderful. This is really wonderful. Right? So even dealing with a matter of sin, you need to know, the Lord Jesus did not just shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of your sin. Of course he does. He will forgive you. He paid the price on the cross. He shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of your sins. But he is a very good doctor. Because if it is just forgiveness, you're going to do it again. A good doctor will go to the root of the matter. You think the Lord is not a good physician? Many times we just want the forgiveness. Ah, Lord, forgive me. I did it again. And then tomorrow, Lord, I confess, forgive me. I did it again. And every day, Lord, forgive me. And the Lord will forgive you. But the Lord wants to free you, to set you free. Right? That is why Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. We always like to say, oh, he died for me. It's wonderful, so I don't need to die, right? If I die for you, do you need to die? Of course not. Then why do I need to die for you, right? If you also have to die, I don't need to die for you. 감사합니다. 아, 영화관에 토이리시어리테시바. This is our concept. He died for me. Hallelujah. But no. We died together with him. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Now it's no longer I that live. Is that just a doctrine or is that a reality? So even the matter concerning the matter of sin here, it is the Lord did a wonderful job. Don't just think, oh, he died for me. Right? No. Paul says, I have been crucified with him. So praise the Lord. Right? There is such a thing as the sin offering to liberate us from the slavery of sin. I want to be made free. Set me free. So praise the Lord. You need to now experience Christ not only as your trespass offering, but now you have to experience the Lord as your sin offering to be set free. And that's why it's written, and sin shall have no more dominion over you. Is that a doctrine for you? Is that a reality? sin shall have no more dominion. Before you were saved, born again, you were under the dominion of sin. Sin tells you, go sin, and you have no choice, you go in sin. But after you're born again, praise the Lord, you learn to say, I have been crucified with Christ. Don't just say, he died for me. You should learn to say, I died with him. Right? So when you died with him, then sin has no more dominion over you. You think it's just a doctrine, or would you be a person who experienced that? So Paul says, for me to live is Christ. Because now he doesn't live himself, he lives Christ. Henceforth, he said, sin shall have no more dominion over us. This is really wonderful. So we do need to experience the Lord as such a wonderful sin offering to liberate us from the slavery of sin, to free us. So there is a sin offering, and there is a trespass offering to deal with the outward sins that we have committed. This is really wonderful. How thorough the dealing of our Lord is with our problems. Right? Not only inwardly, but also outwardly, because we are still not perfected. So you can still commit a lot of wrongdoings. Right? That is why in a trespass offering, if I cheat you with 100 pesos, Schubert, forgive me, okay? Okay. You are a wonderful Christian. And I'm your brother, so forgive me, right? Forgive me. So, what do you say? Oh, of course, you love me, right? Don't you love me? Oh. And 100 pesos, what is that to you, right? It's really nothing, right? 100 pesos. Okay, forgiven, now I can go, right? That is Schubert. But not with the Lord. The Lord will tell you, you want me to forgive you, return first the 100 pesos. Plus 20%. It is written. Don't tell me, oh, I made that rule. No, I did not make that rule. So how much do I have to return to you now? 120. After I return 120 to you, then the Lord will say, done. My sins will be forgiven. Right. The Lord is a very righteous Lord. I need to add 20%. How about that? What if I steal and cheat you 1,000,000 pesos? And that's a different story now. Ah. So, remember our God is a very righteous God. Right? You cannot just say, sorry is fine, but return what you owe. Plus 20%. What a righteous God. The more you know this wonderful God, the more you will really appreciate what a righteous God. How righteous. And if you do this, next time you will not dare to cheat again. Right? Otherwise, forgiveness is so cheap. Oh, next time I'll steal another 1,000,000 from you. Oh, sorry. It doesn't matter. 1,000,000, what is that to you, right? you are Bill Gates' brother. So, hey, what is 1 million pesos? Forgive me, okay, brother? You're a good Christian, right? How about that? No. No. That is not according to what the Word of God says. You return it at another fifth. Oh, Lord Jesus. So you can really see that a trespass offering is not just forgiveness, but forgiveness according to His righteous nature. I cannot ask you to forgive me and keep the 1 million pesos in my pocket. That is not acceptable. Our God is a righteous God. Yes, forgiveness, but return the 1 million plus 20%. You agree with that? Very simple, return the money. Huh? The same thing. If it is just your offending to the Lord, then the forgiveness is okay. But if your sin is with material you steal from somebody, if I damage your car outside in a parking lot, bang, with a big... Forgive me. Right. Well, we are brothers, right? Forgive me, okay? Will you forgive me, right? You better, because if you don't forgive me, God will not forgive you too, right? I can even quote the Bible to you so that you forgive me, right? So you must forgive me, okay?
Oh. But get my car fixed.
That's right. That's right. I forgive you, but please get my car fixed. Why? Is it so that you'll have a nice car again? For my sake, you will tell me that. Go fix my car. It's for my sake, for my conscience sake, for the sake for me to learn not to do it again and to be careful. Otherwise, bang, a big bang, okay, you're so rich, I'm so poor, it's okay, right? It's okay, right? You can do it. You're German euros, oh, you know, I'm just earning pesos. So, you know, right? Okay? You have no love. Yeah, this is what we think. So you have to realize our God is a righteous God. And He did that to help you. To help me. Otherwise we'll never change. So may the Lord open our eyes to see why there are two offerings concerning sin. One deals with the root. He's a very good physician. One deals with your deeds to help you in the outward. Because the Lord not only wants to forgive you, He wants to change you. He wants to sanctify you. He wants to heal you. Otherwise, you remain the same. He wants to transform us into His glorious image. If He doesn't do that, you will never change. So God in His wisdom prepare all of these offerings. It's for our good. Right? First of all, he wants you to live a life that is 100% for the Father. Because of our fallen nature, we live for ourselves. Right? Why did you study medicine? Oh, I like it. And it's a good vocation. And people will look up to me, wow, Lorraine. I wish I were like you. My Lorraine was there, you say. No, right? We are not for God. Are you really for God? No, we say yes, but in our essence, in our life, we are not for God. Right? So here, the Lord Jesus Christ come to this earth. His life is 100% for God, to please the Father, to do the Father's will. The Lord said, my Father hears me because I always do the things that is well-pleasing to him. That is because the Lord Jesus Christ came to be the burnt offering. He came to please the Father. So his coming in the first place is not because he pities you. The Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth first of all and primarily to please the Father. What about your life? Your life and my life, we all for ourselves. If I have no gain in this matter, forget it. If I don't have any advantage, forget it. If I don't have a share in it, forget it. Because we became the center. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, as the burnt offering, every part of his life is for the Father. What about you? So when God created man, man should actually be for God. But because of sin coming in, we become selfish. That's why this word selfish is very meaningful. Are you a fish? No. But are you just for yourself? Yeah. So you're selfish. You're a selfish. Not shellfish. We are just for ourselves. I, me, and myself. Who are you with? I was with me and myself. Who are you for? I'm for me and myself. We're selfish. We are not for God. But the Lord Jesus Christ came. Behold, right, you have given me a body to be for him 100% for God. So wonderful. That is why we need to experience Christ as one who is 100% for God. This is Christ as our burnt offering. Everything is offered up to God. Right? And in order to do that, we have Christ as our meal offering. Meal offering refers to the fine, perfect, wonderful humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Becoming food to us. In this burnt offering, everything is burned up for God to enjoy as a sweet, wonderful aroma, and only the skin is for us. Only the skin. But if you just have the skin inside, it's rotten. It's not good. Right? So, what do we need? We need a meal offering. Right, the meal offering is called meal offering because it is mainly a part, just a small part for God. The rest is food for the priests, for us. We have to eat that food. It's an all-inclusive medicine. It deals with all bacteria. It deals with sin and everything. My, is that food for the priest? So here, the meal offering signifies the perfect, wonderful humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ, without leaven, without sin. Fine, perfect, mingled with the Holy Spirit. Full of frankincense, with the power of resurrection, death cannot penetrate through him. No temptation can penetrate through the Lord Jesus Christ. Even $1 billion, 1,000 Porsche, and 1,000,000 Mercedes-Benz, and the biggest business in the world. Did not Satan show the Lord Jesus all the glories in the world and says, I'll give it to you if you bow down to me? Can you resist that? But the humanity of the Lord Jesus is incorruptible. Yep. Really wonderful. No honey. So don't be so sweet. Are you very sweet? Are you a sweet brother? You know, that our kind of sweetness is sticky. Sticky, very sticky. What do you do if you're sticky? Go get a shower. Then you won't be so sticky. Go get a heavenly shower. No honey can be put in a meal offering. No honey. Of course, it is pure and holy. Right. You can really see the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ is perfect. That's why it's food for the priest. Only a handful is offered up to the Father. The rest are food for the priests. That's why in the New Testament we talk about eating the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord says, he who eats me, he shall live by me. So what are you eating every day? Did you eat the humanity of the Lord Jesus? Good. I'm glad to hear that. A young man learning to eat Jesus. That's wonderful. People just tell you to believe in the Lord Jesus. But here we are telling you to eat the Lord Jesus. If I ask people, 你相不相信耶稣基督啊? 哦,你相不相信? 相信,对不对? 弟兄,你相不相信? 相信。你吃不吃耶稣基督啊? If I ask you, Frank, do you believe in the Lord Jesus? You said, of course I do. I believe in the Lord Jesus for so many years now. Right? Verena, how long have you believed in the Lord Jesus? Many years, right? How long? A few years. Some years, a couple of years, I don't know how long. But if I ask you, do you eat Jesus? You say, what do you mean, eat Jesus? my sister Grace believes in the Lord Jesus. We grew up together. She believes in the Lord Jesus. But if I ask you, are you eating Jesus? You say, what are you talking about? Eating Jesus. In John chapter 6, when the Lord says, you must eat me, everybody ran away. What do you think of me? I'm a cannibalist. 吃我的肉. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. I'm going to run away in this room. Won't you run away? Would you? If I tell you, eat my flesh and drink my blood, oh my goodness, there won't be anybody in this room, not even me. I'm going to run away too. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Then the Lord Jesus says, it is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. Meaning to say, the Lord didn't want you to eat his flesh. But spiritually, we have to learn to eat the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you eat me, the Lord Jesus says, you will live by me. Wonderful. This is really, really wonderful. So, I'm sorry we don't have enough time, but maybe I'm still here a little bit in the Philippines, right? We will continue that. How about that? Okay? Right. We will continue to share concerning this matter, right? How to prepare all these offerings to offer up to the Father. Because every one of us must do it. Don't say, oh, my Tagalog is not good. Then use Chinese. My Chinese is not good enough. Speak German. Speak English. As long as you have the reality, you can offer up a wonderful offering to the Father. The offerings are food for God. Okay. So, after you're satisfied, you have to learn to offer up the offerings to the Father for His satisfaction. Amen. You want to learn that? Yeah. Amen. We all have to learn to prepare such wonderful offerings to the Father. 感谢赞美主。 Amen. 莫名其妙吗? 奇妙。这是圣经，神的话要我们这样做的。 Yeah. So we all have to learn, right? Praise the Lord.